There. And we need, there go. Oh, everybody counts. And last time we finished Perachat Aleph of Shmuel Bet, finished Givonim, the idea of the famine that started, that Hashem punishes Bnei Israel for the injustice that had been done to the Givonim, and David overcomes that, establishes justice in an extreme and harsh way. We'll talk about the implication of that. And we looked at it from the point of view of the Malbim. What was going on with that? What is God angry at? This is the way the Malbim looked at what was going on, but the Givonim were oppressed after Shaul destroys the city of Nob because the Givonim were willing to work there. And Malbim said about that, by the Kisha Ulakotam. And Shaul tried to attack them, wipe them all out. But Kinat told the Israel of Judah, in his jealousy, in his paranoia, he assumed, well, David went to the Kohanim and Nob, the Kohanim must be guilty, Givonim are working with the Kohanim and Nob, the Givonim must be guilty, wipe them all out. Gam Shlo Kama Atzatel, even though he did wasn't successful, the Cholzek, Givar Nanu Hefger, basically they were left as, excuse me, as Hefger. Everyone could oppress the Givonim, they had no rights at all in Shaul's kingdom. Basu Bam Isha Yashar Be'Nav, anyone could do whatever they want with them. They were spurned, no one to help them. Golim Ugarashim, exiled, kicked out of their homes. Shaze Amar, and that's why the Givonim said, Vashe that they slowly silenced us and then destroyed us and prevented us from living anywhere in the boundaries of Israel. Even after Shaul died, that his son Ishbosheth was the king in Israel. The Bnei Israel kept the hatred of Shaul's father, of Ishbosheth's father of Shaul. In Chonim Rachim Aniyim and no Anyam, and no one had pity on them and on their suffering. Gam H Shemalach David lo samol libam takin avot hazeh. And even when David was king, no one corrected this. Givonim were oppressed throughout all this time. Yehi kalim uzim b'neihem because they were worthless, despised in their eyes. Gam shekoneh Hashem hoshvu lachodavim mo'adam. Even as the Kohanim were restored, they rebuilt the Mishkan in fact, Givonim city. These foreigners who actually lived in Israel before the Jews came in there, but now they were no not Israelites. Koach, those who are oppressed by all their powerful oppressors. No one consoled their tears. And that's why Hashem was angry with them. Just summarizing what happened last time. Hashem saw it, and Hashem was angry because there was no justice. And then a famine came, a drought, there wasn't enough food. So, given him going to suffer, now all of Israel suffers. Just that those poor people had suffered, and they were left dying of hunger. And then after that was the beginning of Perek Chaf Aleph, Pasuk Yudalet. And the remainder of Perek Chaf Aleph and the next two Prakim are more, they're more like Tehillim. They're poetic appendices to Sefer Shmuel. And I'm going to skip those for now. I'm going to move ahead to Perek Chaf Dalet, the last Perek of the Sefer, which is another narrative, another tragedy in David's reign. And it starts, Yosef af Hashem v'charop Yisrael, and God was angry again with Israel. I think what I'd like to do is just kind of go through the whole parak first, then we'll go back and analyze it, just to read the word. So here is 2 Samuel 24. We'll bet parak last parak in Shmuel. Yosef af Hashem v'charop Yisrael, and Hashem was angry again against Israel, v'yaset et David b'hem. And he enticed David against them. Like more, and David was enticed to say, Lech me Israel, Beit Yehuda. Go count Israel and Yehuda. I'm going to make a census. Yomimelech El Yoav, Sarachayel, so he tells Yoav, who's his general, Asher Yito, with him, shoot Nabokov ship to Israel, go spread out in among all the tribes of Israel, meet Dan by Beersheba, from Dan in the north, Beersheba in the south, do it to Am, and count to the people, Yati at Mispar Ha'am, so I can know how many there are. And so Yoav tells the king, Yosef Hashem Melachecha to Am, Kehem Vechahem, Me'apamim. May God increase their number as they are 100 times. While my king, while my master the king is watching them increase 100 more times. But my master the king, why do you want to do this? Okay, counting people is a bad idea. We'll talk about that. But the king pushed. And all the rest of his administration. They say Yoav, so they went out. Yoav, Asiri Achayel, and Yoav, and all of his people went out with Nehemiah from the king. They go to Avet Israel to go conduct the census to count the people. By Abruti Yarden, by Yechanu Ba'aroer, by Yamina Ir, and they cross the Jordan. They camp north of the city of Aroer, Shevetocha Nachal, a god, and then in the middle of the river of the tribe of God, the Yazer, another city in Yazer. They go to Gilad, and they went north to the Gilad. On the east bank of the Jordan, about Eretz Tachtim, Chodshi, which I know it is, the city of Tachtim Chodshi. By Abo Dana, they went as far as north of Dan, Ya'an, the Saviv El Sidon, they went north to as far as north of Sidon, Sidon in modern Lebanon. They went to Tzor, they come to Tzor, Tyre, Reyachiviv, Akarniv, and they went in all the cities of the Canaanites who were still there in the north, what's now Lebanon. Was looking on everything south really was still was now Israelite. They saw Negev done. They went all the way down south to the Negev and Yehuda, Beersheba, all the way down to Beersheba. So they went through the whole country. They counted as much as well as they could. They shoot up all the Aretz and they went around through the whole land. By Bo Mitzay Tishav Chodeshim Vesrim Yom Yerushalayim. They come back after 9 months and 20 days it took to conduct this census. By Tenu Avet Mifkara Am. And so Yoav gave the total number of the census, El HaMelech, the king, by Yisrael, 800,000, Yishchayel Shalef Karaven. So in Yisrael, the northern part of the country, there were 800,000 those who could bear the sword. So men of military age. Yishudah, 500,000 Ish, and 500,000 in Yehuda. Noticing that Yisrael and Yehuda were never united. You know, they're one country, but clearly they felt themselves separate. So population of Israel, in terms of those who were military age men, 1.3 million. Not small. Smaller than the current Israel, but that's a good number.
I also they don't count the women.
Right. So figure equal number of women is 2.6 million. However many children, give them another... Another equal number there, so probably about 4 million total population. What's the population of Israel right now?
Probably 9 or 10.
9 or 10 million. Okay, so it's not that far off. So they connected the census. But Yachlev David to Acharechen Safar Ad. And David now feels guilty that he's counting the people. David says to God, I have sinned greatly. Asher asiti, with that which I've done. Vatashem hever na davon avdacha. Now please pass over my sin. Ki niskalti mo'od, because I was really stupid. Welcome David baboker, and David prays, and he gets up in the morning. Udvar Hashem haya el gad hanavi. So the word of God comes to God. The word of God comes to God. That always gets confusing. This is Gad, the prophet. This is the same God who told him, I gotta keep track of this. This is the one who told him to go to leave his Siklag and his little, you know, where he was a bandit king in the south of Israel and become king over Yehuda and Hebron. But God comes to him, Zachoze David. He was a seer for David, and he said the following. This is what God, what Hashem tells Gad. Halokh vidbartel David. Go to call talk to David. Komar Hashem, go say it to the Lord. Shalosh anochi notel lecha. I'm going to present you with three things. Bachar lecha, achat mehem. You need to choose one of them, selchan. I will do that to you. So God comes to David, and tells him, so what do you want? You have a choice of three things. These are not good things. Okay? Like we have 7 years of famine. Just had three, we finished 3 years. Third in famine. Or you have 3 months of fleeing before your enemies, as they chase you, you'll be attacked by enemies for 3 months and you'll lose. Give me your social yamim dever, or 3 days of a plague, Barzakha in your land. You're being punished. You have 7 years of famine, 3 months of war, or 3 days of plague. Now you should know. Now you need to tell me, what should I return? What answer should I give to the one who sent me? To Hashem himself. God, Charlie Ma'od, and David says to God, we know this pasuk, this is before Tachnun. I am in great pain. This is, makes me miserable. Nipla Nabi Hashem, but I want to fall in the hands of God. He Rabim Rachamal, because he will have more pity on me. We had Adam El Apola, let me not fall into the hands of man. Vayitan Hashem Dever B'Israel, so Hashem says, okay, that obviously means the plague one. Okay, so there's a plague in Israel.
3 days?
3 days. That's a lot shorter than 2 weeks to slow the spread, right?
Yeah.
Or 3 years of who knows what we're doing with this.
Yeah.
Okay, Vayitan Dever B'Israel, so Hashem said, okay, there's now a plague let loose. I assume it came out of the biotechnology labs and the Technion into the live animal markets. We have Boker from that morning, about 8 Moed until the set time, 3 days, by Yom Minam, be done by Beersheba, and then the number who died in the co country, done to Beersheba, Shivim Elafish, 70,000. Again, out of a population of, we estimate, about 4 million. Okay, that's huge. That's a lot more than that of COVID.
Yeah.
That's a real plague. Vayishlach Yado Malach Yerushalayim, and then the angel. And this is in Divrei Yamim, has a slightly different description of this angel appearing with Harbosh Lufa Yerushalayim. We'll put that in the Seder.
That's in the Haggadah.
In the Haggadah, right. That's the Haggadah. That is a quote when it talks about Yad Chazakah is the Yecherev. That's from the scripture of this in Divrei Yamim. It's not a good thing. It's not talking about attacking the Egyptians. It's talking about attacking Bnei Israel.
Wow, I didn't know that.
And he has this vision. We'll look at it. You know, again, we're just reading the words here. And the vision of this malach, who's carrying out this plague, sends his hand forth toward Yerushalayim, to destroy it. And then God regrets, changes his mind, stops this evil. And Hashem says to this angel, who's going to destroy, who's destroying the people, Ravata, that's enough. Heref Yadecha, pull back your hand. Malach Hashem Haya Im Goren Har Nava Hayibusi. At that moment, it's described in Divrei Yamim at least, that the sword was pointing at the threshing floor of Arnava. There's Arnon. We talked about Goren Arnon, who was a Yibusi, the original inhabitants of Yerushalayim. So a threshing floor is a big open space. That's why you're threshed there. So it's a big plain outside of the city. Yerushalayim is what now Ir David. This is outside of that.
Yeah.
And the Malach is pointing at this big open space just outside of Yerushalayim. And when David says, as soon as he sees this vision of this Malach, it's literally attacking the people. David says, no, I'm the one who sinned. I'm the one who did wrong. Elat son masu, these sheep, what have they done? Hina yarcha bi veta bi, attack me. Be against me. Don't keep killing the people. David by Mahus, a God, the Navi comes to David on that day. Bimarlo, Aleh Hakem, go. Raise up for Hashem Mizbeach, Goren, our Nava Haibusi. You need to build a Mizbeach. You need to build an altar in the on the threshing field. Beyal David Kibar God, Kashet Hashem, and so David goes there. Who says God commanded? Vayashkef Arnava, and then Arnava, yet who's not Jewish, he's Yibusi, he's in his threshing field, and he looks up. Vayara Tamelech Machadav, and sees the king and all of his retinue. Obrimelo coming to him. Vayeter Nava, Vayishtachlo Melech Machav Arza, and he comes out and he bows down to David. Vimar Arnava, and Arnava says, Madu Abad and Yam Melech Alavdo. What are you? Why are you coming? Why you, O king, are coming to me? I'm your servant. Vimar David, Miknot Meam Chatagorim. I want to buy this threshing area from you. Livnom is Be'ach Hashem, in order to build an altar to God, and that, and at that, the plague will end. And Arava says to David, go take it. And go ahead and offer whatever you want in there. It's yours. You can take all my oxen to the offerings. And you can take all of my equipment and the equipment for the ox. You can use that as the wood to burn. You can build yourself an altar here. And everything there, now we have a hint here. Arnava was actually the Melech. He was the king of the Yebusi, who had been displaced by David, right? He was having the king of Yerushalayim. We'll have to look at that as well. And he gives it to the king. He said, may God find favor, may you find favor in God's eyes. May God want this work. So the king says to Arnava, lo, no, I'm not going to take it from your hand. I won't accept the gift. I want to pay you. Shades of Abraham and the Mara Machpelah. Lo el el Hashem Elokai alot chinam. I will not offer sacrifices for free. I want to make a point that I'm buying it. I'm making the effort to do get this. They can divide a goren, but a bakar, but kesef shkalim chamishim. And so he buys this threshing floor and the cattle for 50 shekels. Eretchem David Mizbeach Hashem. So David builds Mizbeach there and offers sacrifices and shlamim, peace offerings. And Hashem accepted the prayer of the land, and the plague ends. And there ends Sefer Shemuel. That's the paragraph to look at.
Interesting how the king of the Yebusi was like our enemy came forward for him.
Yeah, so we're going to talk about Yebusi, and we talked about when we talked about the conquest of Yerushalayim, that yeah. There was no battle.
I thought there was a battle for Yebusi.
Yeah, that becomes there. I mean, we can go back, we'll review it when we get down. We got a lot more to before we even get to the actual Arnava Yebusi. But if you look at the actual text, there's no battle, right? You have one, Yoav goes in there, knocks out their idols, and then they just surrender.
Oh, okay.
Okay. It's clear that the Yebusim are living in peace with Israel. And here you have the king of Yebus now is got his threshing floor north of the city, and he's going to give it to David, no problem. And that space, Goren Arnon, is where the Beit HaMikdash is built. That Mizbeach that he builds is at the spot of the Mizbeach of the Beit HaMikdash.
Ad HaYom HaZeh?
Ad HaYom HaZeh.
Okay.
Which will.
Interesting.
An interesting phrase there, right? We'll talk about how David finds this place, right? It's not in the place where he thought it would be. So we start the whole parak starts off with by Yosef af Hashem lechrob Yisrael. Hashem became angry again with Israel. By Yosef at David Bahem, and so he entices David. Leimor lech mina Yisrael bet Yehuda, go count Israel and Yehuda. And we're stuck kind of starting in the middle of the story, right? We don't know what God is angry with them for. And what they did before that, he got them even more angry. And Rashi says flat out, Lo yadati amacha Rabbi Israel. I have no idea what God was angry about. Nothing. And similarly, the Radak, lo yadanu ze acharon lama. But we have no idea what this anger was for. We just have this story here. Kiyim haya Rabbi Israel. Something Israel did wrong, right? God's angry with Israel. David hayam of Eroto, and David is one who literally inflamed them, right? David here is the tool for punishing Israel. Right? Hashem is, it's Bayaset, God is Bayaset David. He entices David here. David is not at fault here. Israel is Bnei Israel did something wrong. And we'll certainly look with the Ra'abak there, just in terms of the chronology, assume that this was following the famine and the Givonim. Mm-hmm. And what it is by Yosef, even more so, we had this previous parak about the 3 years of famine. And now, Milvad Mashachar Po Al Devar Givonim, even more than when Hashem was angry about the Givonim, Sheira'av Shanach HaShanah, there's a famine there year after year. Now we have another one. It doesn't say what he's angry about specifically, but this the chronology here is after, shortly after the famine of the Givonim, which we said was early in David's reign. We look at it that Hashem is upset with the people. Connected, maybe because the tshuva, the previous story was inadequate, that David does the justice, but the people don't. We're not talking about the mob and looking at it, that all the people were oppressing Givonim and nobody did anything. People didn't change. So Hashem makes David the tool with which to punish them. And I'm setting the dog here. So the fact is that David is, as the ruler, he loses some free will. That's kind of fundamental belief that as the government doesn't have free will, Hashem wants to deal with the people as a whole. There's a pasuk in Mishlei, Palge Mayim Lev Melech Bi Hashem. That the heart of a king is like streams of water in the hands of God. That wherever Hashem wants to make him flow, that's where he will flow. He'll lean to one side or the other one. As an individual, he may have free will, but in terms of what happens to the nation as a whole, Melech does not. As the Rabbah puts it over there, Hinei lev ha-melech ritzono hu b'yad Hashem. Heart of the king, what the king desires is in the hands of God. K'mon palge mayim, just like streams of water, yuklu hatotam, that you can reach and channel them in whatever direction you want. El asher yeh sham ha-chepetz, wherever your target is. Kach yet Hashem lev ha-melech. So too God will channel the will of the king. Kol asher yachpots, wherever you want. V'nei hi'ir bazeh, and we're illustrating here, ki polot ha-melech u'machshvotav, that the actions of the king and his thoughts, they are limited by God. Hashem wants a certain consequence to happen for God acting in history by influencing the government as a whole, the nation as a whole, and that's represented in this case by the king himself. He's like the messenger of God here. For what he's doing and in a government fashion is, we're assuming, the hand of God. God will not abandon the Hanhaga, the way the nation goes, to the individual king, as it says in Kohelet, Gavoh Mel Gavoh Shomer, because the high one above the high ones is guarded. Hashem keeps control over those who are nominally in charge. And that's what...
That sort of takes you back to Para, where he says God hardened his heart.
Yes, this is very similar. In that here, David is... doesn't have a choice in the matter, right? Hashem is the one who's the Messiah. You couldn't.
He's correcting.
Right, David is a tool.
Yeah.
So here, so Hashem is angry with Bnei Israel after the whole story of the Givonim. That's by Yosef. And he punishes Bnei Israel by inciting David to count them, which doesn't sound so bad. But the consequences we saw were terrible. That was Vaitein Hashem Dever B'Yisrael, and Hashem sent the plague as a result of this census. Yeah, Boker Ava'ad Eit Moed, from morning until this appointed time, right? 3 days. The whole nation, north to south, Shivim Elafish, 70,000 people died as a consequence, right? That's Hashem causes David to do this, which results in this 70,000. And what's strange about this, and that the, this plague, this terrible thing happening, results in David learning the location of the Beit HaMikdash. David wants to build the Beit HaMikdash. He only finds the place of it when God reveals it to him with this angel pointing at Gor and Arnon. And it says, God el David be'amahu, and God came to David on that day. Go build your altar there. David does it. And then God listens to prayers of the land, and the plague ends. It's a very strange story. And this ending here, the location here, go back to remember that David had brought the Aron to Yerushalayim way back in the beginning of his reign. He had prepared a place in Ir David, and presumably that's where he expected he was going to build the Beit HaMikdash there. That's what he built. He built the kind of temporary structure there that would eventually become this Beit HaMikdash. And then Hashem told him, no, you're not going to build it. So he leaves it there. And now he's told, you know, that spot you had near David, that's not where you're going to build it. That's not where the altar's going to be. And that's not where your son Shlomo is going to build the Beit HaMikdash. The actual place is the next hilltop over, what's now Har HaBayit. Right, because Ir David is south of there.
Right.
This threshing floor was basically a flat hilltop. I mean, you get a thresh, you got to throw the grain into the air. You want something on top of a hill.
Yeah.
So it was perfect for that. So that's when you build it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that this Beach will determine the place of Beit HaMikdash. And I'm quoting here the way the Rambam looks at that, because we often think of the Beit HaMikdash as being centered around the Aron on whatever the rock that's in the Dome of the Rock.
Yeah.
A little bit of a bedrock that sticks up.
Yeah.
The Rambam is very clear that that's not the essential point. What's important, what determines the location of the Beit HaMikdash was the Mizbeach. And the building was next to there. Mm-hmm. Okay, this is the way the Rambam looks at it. So this Mizbeach here is what determines the Beit HaMikdash. This is the Hilchot Beit HaMikdash here. This is the Rambam saying, this is how you're going to build the Beit HaMikdash. Mizbeach, Mekomam Mukuvam Biyoter. That the Mizbeach, the altar, is what's the most determined place. It's got to be exactly that spot. It should never move from its place forever. This, David tells Shlomo, this is a Mizbeach that will be the place where Israel offers offerings. The Mikdash, Nekai Yitzchak Avinu, and this place is where the Akedah was. That's the sweet parasha. It says, Lech l'kal Eretz HaMoriah, right? Avram is told, you go to the land of Moriah. And when Shlomo builds the Beit Midash, it says, Nemar, Ayachal Shlomo, Livnot Beit Hashem Yerushalayim, that Shlomo began to build the house of God Yerushalayim, Bahar HaMoriah. And Shlomo is identifying it with the place where the Akedah was. Asherela David Avihu, that's the place that appeared to David, his father. Asherachim Makom David, that David had prepared the place, but Gor and Arnon, as you see, like we just saw in that threshing floor of Arna. That's where the Mizbeach was. That's Eretz HaMoriah. That's where the Akedah was. Gotta be that spot. Mesorah Biyadakol, and everyone knew the tradition. Shemakom Shebana David, Shlomo, Mizbeach, Arvona. His name goes back and forth. It's Arnon in Divrei Yomim, Arvona in Shmuel. It was the same name. So this place where David and Shlomo built this Mizbeach, that's the place of the Akedah, that Mizbeach that mentioned in this week's Parsha. And agadically, that's the place where Noah built his first altar as he left the ark. And that's the altar where Cain and Hebel, so as first was exiled from Eden, that's where they built it. Korban, that Adam, the Midrash says, also brought sacrifices on this very spot. And then he was created from this very spot. Adam Mekomo Kafarto Nivra. That human beings were created in the place that would eventually bring them to the Kapara and the Karbanot. The Midrash says that this was a holy spot. But no one knew where it was. But now Hashem is telling him, this is a place where the Beit Midrash is. So it ends with that. So the structure of the story as a whole is similar to the Givonim story, right? That there's a bad thing that happens, just like Vayhi Ra'av B'nei David. Here we have the Hashem's angry with Bnei Israel. And then Vayomer Hashem El Sha'ul Beit Adamim, and Hashem tells him what to do, and he does it, and he makes it up. Vayisu Kol Sheyatziva HaMelech, and then God eventually, and then David eventually does the right thing. Vayater Elokim La'aretz Acharei, ends with the same line. That Givonim ends with Vayater Elokim La'aretz, and our story ends with Vayater Hashem La'aretz. Right, heard the prayer to land, Tetar Magifa, the plague ended. But here the story is much more mysterious. We don't know exactly what they did wrong in the beginning. That was not really told. And then it leads to this, the punishment is kind of strange, to be punished with a census. That leads to a plague. And when it's all over, Hashem rewards David, tells him, here, here's where you're going to build your altar, this location of the Beit Midrash, the one thing that you want in your life. That's great. And there's Sefer Shmuel ends. And you can argue that, well, it ends at that point because it's the segue into Sefer Melachim when they actually build the Beit Midrash. But the whole, what's the connection between all these parts here? What's God angry about? So look at this through the eyes of the Ramban, which fundamentally can is based on Midrash that connects the end of the Perek back to the beginning. Okay, then God's angry and eventually says, here's where you build the Beit Midrash. Here's where this is the Midrash Shochar Tov, the Midrash Tehillah. It says, Vayavo God El David Bayamahu. God comes to David, Gad, the prophet comes to David and says, Vayomar Lo, Alei Akam Lashem is Be'af Gorin Arnava, you see. And he says, go build an altar in this threshing floor, belonging to Arnav. Mashallah Madavam, what's this like? The Chai Shaya Makelivno. Loya Yodea Ben Lamahu Makeoto. Like someone is beating his child and not telling the child why. It's not a good way to discipline your children, by the way. Okay, you spank them and then, but don't tell them what they did wrong. You know what you did wrong. But that's kind of what's happening here. The Chasheiko, and after spanking his child, Amar lo, it says to him, "Ase lecha said devar piloni to the tivticha hayom." It says, "Now go do that thing that I told you earlier to do." Kama yamim that I told you coming for a couple of days, lo hishgachta lobo, and you didn't pay any attention to it. And then retrospectively, you realize, oh, that must be what God is, what the father is angry about. And you should have known, you should have done whatever it was. You didn't do it. Now you need to go and do this thing. That's what happened here in the time of David. These thousands that died. Reason why they're punished was because they didn't build the Beit HaMikdash.
They didn't what the Beit HaMikdash?
They didn't build.
Oh.
Beit Midrash. They didn't seek to build the Beit Midrash. In fact, Hashem says afterwards, okay, now that we're done with this plague, build the altar here. That's obviously what they were supposed to have done the first. That's why God's angry. So says the Midrash. They didn't build the Beit Midrash. And then it continues. But look, Devarim Kal V'Chomer. And here it's Kal V'Chomer here. Ma im elu shlo nivne b'yimehem, v'char b'yimehem. Those who never saw it built, didn't feel the destruction. Kach ne'el salahem. This is what happened to them in a shoe. Asher tavu binyan Beit Midrash, and they're punished because they didn't seek to have the Beit Midrash built. Anu, us, in our generation, shachar b'yameinu, we saw the destruction. B'yameinu, we've had the Beit Midrash at some point. Ein anu mitablim v'mavakshim rachamim alcha kama v'kama. So too, that we should be seeking to build the Beit Midrash. And if we don't, then we deserve to be punished just as hard as they were. Therefore, the original pious one, original Hasidim, Shayul Yisrael, Bepalim Shalosh Tefilot B'chol Yom B'Yom. That's why, as part of our davening, that we daven three times a day. Ana Hashem Shechina Tal Tzion, We say that part. Say, please bring back the Shechina. Tien, the Seder of Adai Yushalayim. Tikmi Bona Yushalayim Hashem. Bracha of Neatma, the Bracha of Bona Yushalayim. It's Filo Brichat Amazon. That's because we're just like Bnei Yisrael should have sought to build the Beit HaMikdash in the time of David, and they weren't there punished, so too we should seek to build the Beit HaMikdash. At least be praying for it. If we don't, we deserve to be punished. So there's a lesson there for us about mourning about the Chorban, about what we're saying, but it's hard to understand what it's talking about instead that the Bnei Yisrael in the time of David were punished because they didn't build the Beit HaMikdash. They didn't demand that be built. They didn't ask that it be built. Hashem himself said that David, you're not building it. And they tried, but he said, no, don't do it. So what went wrong here? And just to look back at the story, right? When Hashem tells David, you're not going to build the Beit HaMikdash. We remember this, right? Vayiki yashav ha-melech b'beito, and this was after he moves to Yerushalayim. He has a palace built, and he's living in his palace. Hashem heniach lo misavi mikol aivav, and Hashem has given him peace from all his enemies around him. So David comes to Natan and says, "Re'ena anochi yoshev b'beit arziv. Look, I'm living in this cedar palace. Barone Elokim yoshev b'toch yiriya, and the Aaron of God is underneath the tent." Implying it, let's go build it a bit. Let's build this Beit HaMikdash, right? And he says, whatever, okay, you're right. Whatever you want to do, go ahead and do it. You can build it now.
That's Nathan telling him that.
I'm sorry?
That's Nathan telling him that.
Right, right. We talked about this is Nathan wearing his rabbi hat. Now he's right. Paskening, right? He's not going to get the Navi message until later, right? It was that night. But David got a good night's sleep. That's great. He's happy. That night, but he divided Hashem and Natan anymore. But no, Hashem tells Natan, Lech v'mato adi el David, go tell David, no. Komar Hashem. Atatim ne'al li bayat l'shiti, you think you're going to build me a house for me to settle in? Yilu ashabti b'vayit. From yom ha'aliti at B'nai Yisrael, I'm trying about hayam azeh. I have not been in a house from the time B'nai Yisrael left Egypt till now. I was in a tent. I was in this Mishkan. It's okay. And all the wanderings that I wandered with Bnei Israel, did I once suggest to any of the Shvatim, Asher Tziviti, little to me, any of the leaders that I commanded to be the shepherds of my people at Israel, Lamar, did I say this? Did I ever say to anyone, why have you built me a house of cedar? Israel, since the day I commanded all the Shoftim, now I have given you peace from your enemies. Hashem, so God is telling you, David, Hashem. God is going to build you a house. You're not going to build a house. God's going to build you a house. You'll live to an old age. You will pass away. And I will establish your descendants who have yet to come from your loins. And I will give him peace in his kingdom. He's the one who will build the house in my name. And I will establish his throne forever. We remember that.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to build it. And he wants to build it specifically because it says, Hashem, he niach lo misavi mikol aivav. He sees he has peace. And he figured that's the criteria. When can you build a bayit? That's the pasuk in Re'eh. Bartemati yardeh mishavtem ba'ar ha'eretz asher Hashem lokeichem manchilachem. When you live in this land and you'll set up, you'll cross the Jordan, you'll live in the land that God gives you. Same words. And God will give you peace from all your enemies around you, and you'll live securely. And then you'll have a place that God will pick for his name. That's where you bring all the offerings, etc. So that's why Nathan says, look, it says that Hiniach David Mikol Oyvav, and now Hiniach Mikol Oyvechem Saviv. That's the it. So it's now time. And we talked that before, that the reason why David did not build Beit Midrash was that Hashem wanted to build him the Bayit first. He needed a dynasty. He needed a peaceful transfer of power. Because David and Nathan misinterpreted the Pasuk in Devarim. Like says, the criteria are twofold. Niyach lachem mikol oyvechem misaviv, peace from external enemies, and v'yashavtem betach. And the people have to be living securely.
Settled.
They have to settle, right. And you're not there. If every transfer of power is a civil war, then that's not yashavtem betach. With no comments about current politics at all. Okay? David had won the wars, but not established a stable country where the citizens felt secure. That's what he needed to do. And Shlomo explicitly says that they were Yoshu Betach. That's what they needed. So that's one reason. That's the reason that nothing gives David, you cannot build the Beit HaMikdash. David himself gives another reason why he couldn't build it. Okay, this is when David is talking to Shlomo later on, end of his life. You're going to build this. I wanted to, but you're going to build this by Vayomer David LeShlomo, B'ni, ani hayiti imlo, my son, I always wanted, it was deep in my heart, livnot beit bayit l'shem Elokai, I want to build a house for God. But he alai divar Hashem le'mor, and the word of God was upon me. We don't have a record of this. Nebuah, do you feel it? Where does this come from? But he felt that God told him, Dam l'rov shafachta. You spilled much blood. Machamot gedolot asita. You've done many wars, great wars. Lo tivne bayit l'shmi. You will not build this house for my name. Ki damim rabim shafachta arza l'panai. Because you spilled all this blood before me. Ni ben l'lacha. You will have a son. Hu yeh ishmi. He will be a man of peace. And I will give him peace from all the enemies around. Shlomo, he will be named the Shlomo, the man of peace. Shlomo, and I will give peace to all Israel in his days. He will build this house. I will be his father. And again, I will establish his throne forever. So here we have this idea of Dam l'rov shafachta, specifically, because you spilled blood. And we also quoted another reason why David doesn't build the Beit Mikdash from the Midrash. You know, this is about all the money, right? Well, Kesef Zahavazeh, all this gold and silver, and he teaches the Beit Mikdash, and he dedicated to building the Beit Mikdash. And then this famine for 3 years. Israel asked, okay, support us. You have all this money stored away. Lord said, and David didn't give him any. Hashem says, if you're not going to use this money to save lives, by your life, you will not build the Mikdash, but it will be your son. It will be your son. That's another reason. But really, they all go together. It goes to this Yeshavtem Betach and what that means. And we quoted son Eibshitz and his drasha interpreting all this. And he said, Nira, it seems to me, Chachmei Yisrael, him should big shul yitei le'aniyim, that kesef for Zahav, if that there, a Zahav ha'u, wanted to give him from all this gold, this silver and gold. Chachamim came to him and said, you need to give up this your silver and gold to feed the starving. Chach amru lo'am ka'i Yisrael, shirfim parnasa, tach v'ten, so he said, that's when they said, and you have medrash about the wars that David started, that your people need parnas, need to be supported. Who may enlatit, we hit tibel alechem. So David says no, and says, we're going to go out and fight wars, we'll get money by attacking other nations. And Cain, harbe melchamot reshut, tenasu b'shvil parnasat aniyim. So those were the wars that he, the dam l'rov shafachta, that's the wars he's talking about. The fact that he would not support his own people and ended up going to war to get enough to get the money, to get the support, that was wrong. Mas David Yakov Takem
Because he was obsessed, Danny.
He was, that's right. It's for a positive thing. Beit Midrash is a good thing. But here we see that sort of that you can't build it because you were so focused on building it that you weren't paying attention to your people. Your job is to be the leader, right? You need your people to be Yeshua Betach. Okay? And so therefore, he could, since he could, that he could have opened up all the storehouses of gold that he had set aside for building the house. And though, perish pasuk damim harbe shafachta, right? That's what it means that you spilled blood. Yilachamta milchamot mershut, because you fought wars that were not necessary, not milchamot mitzvah. Luya tzorech, it wasn't really necessary, ki alachal apanez min ha-tzarot, vata kamtza b'shalcha b'tzaka, and you were stingy with what you had in terms of giving tzedakah. So, because the bottom line, what the Beit HaMikdash is there for, what symbolizes there, is that it is our manifestation of God in the world, and therefore it needs to be as part of what I call the mamacha mishpat and tzedakah. That's what it needs to be. Both in terms of political stability, commercial stability, everyone has to be doing tzedakah with each other. And then we end up, Yeshai has this vision of the future Beit HaMikdash. Komar Hashem, Shimur Mishpat Vasu Tzedakah. That's actually what he said. You need to keep justice, do righteousness. Then my
salvation.
Yeah, my salvation will come. I mean, that Zion should be a circle. And my tzedek, my justice will be revealed. And then we have a team of Harkochi, and I will bring them to my holy mountain, and I will make joy, give them joy in my house of prayer. I will approve of their because it's a Beit Tefillah for all the nations. That makes a Beit Midrash as opposed to Mishkan, is that it is for the world at that point. It can only be in the context of Shemru Mishpat Vasu Tzedakah.
Yeah.
And that's what David missed. It wasn't about building a building. You need to build a nation of Mishpat Tzedakah first.
He started on the right path, but then he got obsessed.
That's a general theme you get here, how you know, the importance of what it means to build a Mikdash. So now we're going to get back to our parak, right? Hashem's angry at Bnei Yisrael. And the Midrash says, because they didn't build the Beit Mikdash. You can kind of see where that's going based on what we just said, but the Ramban says it pretty much outright. So this is the Ramban. Milvad HaMinyan. Besides the census, that wasn't really the cause of the punishment. Yes, the census was wrong, we'll deal with that, but the fact that David does the census because God is angry at Bnei Israel, Hayonish Allah'am, B'tchilat Davar, and because the punishment was against the people from the very beginning. And it says, V'yosef af Hashem machrop Yisrael, V'yaser et David Bahem. And God is angry with Israel, so he entices David to do this thing. Katav sham Rashi lo yadati alma. And Rashi says, I have no idea why. That's Rambam. But I would say, because it seems logical, I don't have a midrashic basis for this, but it makes sense. So onish al Yisrael, they're punishing Israel. The fact that they didn't build the Beit HaMikdash.
Yeah, it means they were late, no?
Yeah, it's okay.
They're
delaying it. They could have gotten it done. That's the bottom line.
They procrastinated.
Right. But specifically, not so much in the building side of it, but what in terms of making the Binyan Beit HaMikdash possible. Aaron Olech Ol Kigar Ba'aretz, that it was going from one tent to another, like a stranger. Beinat Shvatim Met Orim Lemar Nidrosh Et Hashem V'nea Bayit L'shma. No one ever said, okay, we need to build this Bayit L'Hashem. As it says in the Barim, Shechlo Tidrushu, you need to seek it out. The Bayit L'Hashem, go there. You have a mitzvah to seek it out. Achitarer David la davar mimim labim, until David was inspired to do this many years later, Man Aruch, a long time afterwards, as it says, we just quoted Kiyah Shabbat Melach Beito, etc. David Manao Hashem Yitbarach, and David was prevented from building it. Amar says, Damim Rabim Shafachta, etc. Dacher Od, and it was delayed in Od Abinya on Moch Shalmo, and it was delayed another generation to Shalmo. There's the Rabbah. Yil ha Yisrael chafetzim. But if Bnei Yisrael as a whole had wanted to do it, they wanted to do the same thing. The Arabo b'tchila, and they were inspired from the beginning. They could have built the Beit Midrash earlier, in the days of Shoftim, or Meshaol, or God made David, any time of David. So, this was David who told you can't do it. People as a whole keep me Shiftei Yisrael, because if all the tribes were inspired to do this, lo yahu abanek, then David would not have been built. Did Abba Yisrael him abanek, or Bnei Yisrael as a whole. They could have done this. But the people didn't understand, appreciate this. The David who Mashkiach and the David who appreciated it, from the was inspired. Who Hashem Yechina Kol, and he did it. Who Abonet, and then he was the one building it, not Bnei Israel. Who Ish Mishpat Machasit Bnei Din, and he was a person of Din. Who Shur Beit Rachamim. Yes, the Damim, the Melchamot, the Mim Rabim symbolize this idea of Din as opposed to Rachamim, Ava. If we had had a united people that had Abba for one another, then they could have had built the Beit Midrash. We didn't. We have a king imposing his will on the rest of the people. That doesn't count. Therefore, the fact that it wasn't built in David's time is in fact Israel's fault. Because Bnei Israel could have formed that society where the Beit Midrash was found. They didn't need to have David tell them what to do. That's why Hashem's anger was against them. And therefore, the place where God's name will be placed is no dev anashim anashim magefotam anshim magefotam. It became known through their punishment, through their sin. Hashem punishes them and says, "Now you got to get this right." But to Ramos Kozan, and the Pasuk actually hints at that. It says, the Yeshavi, you know, Hashem tells Natan, look, I haven't been settled in a house, from the time I left Egypt till now. And I was one from one tent in the Mishkan. So I didn't tell them to build it. Etc. And you know, I never said Lamlo Bitam Betarazim. Why did you not build this house? Hare Yashemakatub. So the Pasuk is hinting at blaming them. The Ashkina Mitalech Batok Israel, that the Shekhinah was going from one off one tent to one another, Mishkan Mishkan from one Mishkan to another, as one got destroyed from another one. The Yachab Khoshifte Israel or Imata Mitarba Bavar. Nobody was inspired to do this, right? God would rather that, not so much that he was inspired to build the Beit Midrash, but that the people themselves should have gotten to that point of realizing we need to do this. The market of Oak, Gam Hashem Rachak Mehem, Diber Lacham Mikulom with Not Abayat, and Hashem says, I didn't tell him to do it. Rakata, Shinit Orta Tevut. And now when this, literally, this good is being inspired, Ye'im Ubalcha, because now you want to do this, Batsevet, Tal, Lubnoto, and I will command that my house be built. Gets the point of peace. That's the Ramban. So our parak, this last parak of Shlomo, isn't really about David and his mistakes. It's about how Bnei Israel failed to learn from those mistakes, and that Bnei Israel had the opportunity. And we're going to blame David a little bit because David should have been focusing on creating that kind of society where the Beit HaMikdash could be built, as opposed to trying to build the building of the Beit HaMikdash and saving the money. Right? We need to create the society of Shaptan Betach first. And the Beit HaMikdash that will eventually be built in Sefer Melachim will be much less than it could have been. So David is the king that we said in the end of Perachet. Vaymloch David al kol Yisrael. David was king over all of Israel. And he did Mishpat Tzedakah, those things we said. But that didn't trickle down to the people. Even after the famine, they dealt with this. People as a whole did not sense of rachamim. And that's what it means, the lotav u binyan beit midash. They didn't seek to have beit midash built. They were perfectly happy with the way things were. They weren't looking for this central urlagayim sense, and that's why they were punished. And after that punishment, that's to the point where Hashem says, okay, now you can start building the Beit Hamikdash by building a Gor HaRnon. We're going to stop here, because we're going to go on to the Mikdash Meir and Rav Desper with another way of looking at this and this separation between David building the Beit Hamikdash and Bnei Yisrael building the Beit Hamikdash. But I will.
Thank you, Danny.
Stop here and see if anybody wants to read the recording.